the opportunity to study about the Lord's church and His way during this month now takes not a back seat, but it takes really a participating role in the role of women and motherhood and the Lord's church. Would you turn with me to the writing that Paul did to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. In reference to this situation, we find opportunity to look at some people in Timothy's daily walk of life. And notice that he is referred to as a son in the faith. And the right things of God are the things of his life as well. How did he get that teaching and that way done? 1 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 2. Unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Notice that in this connection, he speaks in regard to the work of the Lord that he left for Timothy to do in that area. How did Timothy have a background to all of that and all of that work? As we read in Acts chapter 16 in reference to his life and opportunity that he had, what in the world was a part of his daily walk of life that made it possible for him to follow what this Paul was telling him to do there while he was in Macedonia? And it's the fact that as we turn further and read in Timothy's life, we get to what we know as 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we notice what is said in verse 5. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Notice the background that young Timothy had. A background for an unfeigned faith that Paul met when he came there to Lystra to talk with him. How did he have that in the beginning? An unfeigned faith. Without particulars, with right recognition of it, how did he have that faith that was genuine and sincere and wanted to serve the cause of God? His grandmother and his mother had taught him. The place of womanhood in the Bible does not take a second place. The idea of God having people and men who lead and who do the work that they do is often predicated upon the fact that their leadership first began at mama's knee, at grandma's knee, at the way that they were guided and directed to the cause, not of themselves, but of the cause of the Almighty Himself. The Almighty, in His plans and His ways, desired that to be the practice of life for those who serve Him. And as a result of that, they were to serve Him in this way, an unfeigned faith. Paul said, I could call to my mind a remembrance of the unfeigned faith that dwelt in thee. It was the same kind of unfeigned faith that dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded also now in thee. He could see the activities of life in their lives. What was an unfeigned faith that dwelt there? A genuine faith that dwelt there? Keep in mind what he noted there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I left you in Macedonia that you might set the things in order that were there, that you might teach the things that were right and good of God there, that you might uphold that way of life that is godly, and not the way of fables, not the way of endless questions that do not help any build up anybody, but to the facts that were given there, the strength of the truth that was revealed there, That's what he says he left him there to do. That faith that dwelt in him was now a faith that he was teaching to others. And as a result of that, he could follow the way of God. Paul had laid hands of authority upon him. He was recognizing the authority that he had, and they recognized the way that he was going forth. And as a result of that, he could teach God's right way to others. You and I today, how many of us can look back to the lifestyle and activities of a godly mother? One who cared. One who cared enough to have us to recognize the place of the Bible in our daily walk of life. The guidance of the Word of God as we go forth in life. The choice that we had of marriage mates. The choice that we have of rearing our children. The choices that we have now to honor her on this particular day. A recognized day virtually around the world. A recognized day of a Mother's Day to the thoughts and mannerisms of her daily walk of life. When we go back in the Bible and we take a look at mothers in the way of life, we see the kind of influence that came to Lois and to Eunice in their years of life as well. Take into consideration the things taught in the book of Genesis chapters 2 and 3 in regard to the place of Eve in life, the mother of all living. The idea of Eve in life we generally think of as regard to the temptation that she faced and persuading her husband to eat also of that forbidden fruit and find themselves in this way. But it was more than this involved. It was more than this that they would recognize the place of God in punishing them to be removed from that paradise that he placed them in. They had a thought in mind about how they were to serve God the rest of their days. In Genesis chapter 5, we read of Adam and we read of Eve and we read of their children thereafter. And we read of the influence of their children thereafter and for good and godliness' sake. When we talk about Jochebed, we talk about the mother of Moses, who took time and thought, knowing that Egypt was attempting to destroy the little boys that were born, so that there wouldn't be any more leadership, any more ways among the Israelites that were there in that land, serving as slaves among them there in Egypt. Here was the case where, along the way, Jochebed was making a plan. Along with Miriam, his sister, he was making a plan. She had a way of weaving together those branches so that they would compose a little boat that would buoy him in the water as he was there available to be killed. But he was not killed, not being found of them, found by someone that God had worked within her heart to have a feeling of compassion. And here is little Moses, who is recognized by Pharaoh's daughter. She carries him. What's he going to do to his daughter who loves this little child? Who cares for this little child? Who wants this little child to be sought after? And in the providence of God, would bring his own mother there to nurse him and care for him at the house of the Pharaoh. Think about the ways in which this womanhood and the compassion that this woman had and the compassion that Pharaoh's daughter had for Moses to continue on. Think about Hannah. The times of Hannah's life and the time of the judges was a lifestyle that was lived as we're introduced to her in 1 Samuel chapter 2. In a prayerful way, not having a child, having a hope that God would reward her with having a child, a son that she said, I will devote to you. I'll devote to the Lord. Unfeigned faith, that is that faith. That kind of faith that was a hope in God, that he would serve the cause of the Lord in righteous ways. And he would serve the cause of God in a righteous way. And as a result of that, find himself to be an influence throughout all of history. Hannah had a word of prayer. Falsely accused, that didn't withstand. Not being a woman who became loud and rejecting of that way of life of which she was falsely accused, she found herself in thought and in patience and in peace, asking God to bless this child. And then she took him for commitment, took him to Eli's household, that he would recognize the place of this child and to be a part of the tabernacle work and the worship of God. She would go each year to visit with him. And each year she took something special for him, for his warmth. And each year she was reminded that God had heard her prayers and that God's way was now Samuel's way. You think about the New Testament, the Bible, and you come to this grandmother and mother of Timothy. And you think about what she did and what they did with young Timothy, and how they knew to have an unfeigned faith in God. Would it not go back to those women, of which there was wonderful examples, of which they would have heard reading of God's word over and over again as they worship God in the places where they worship God there, as they were a part of that way of life? Think about the worship of God today and how many congregations have many women who factually, behind the scenes, work and labor to have everything to come off just in order so that it can be done in an orderly way. Think about the way that they live, and think about the way that you and I then live. You don't find from any of these. Let's find and let's ask the question, how many of these were loud and vindictive and rough women? We talk about a grandmother Lois and Eunice. We talk about a mother Hannah. We talk about a Jochebed who loved Moses. We think about those, how were they acting? How did they behave? They called upon God again and again and then again to be a part of their daily decision making, be a part of their activities of life, be a part of their family's way of life. As a result of that, they had a reward. God blessed them with each one of those instances of life. I have no doubt in my mind as we talk about these things today on this particular day that we have minds that think about toward Mom and toward the things that she had. And I want to mention to you a couple of things my mother had, and you'll see them there today on page 2 of the bulletin. When I would come along and be critical of somebody in my class or critical of somebody to whom I worked and labored, my mom would often repeat these words to me: "You can learn something from everyone you meet. You may learn that you ought not to practice life the way that they practice it." You may learn that. Or you may learn to practice life the way that they do practice life, because they're serving the cause of God and the right things of the Lord. When I met with Brother Sparks in days gone by, and that days, that's talking about 60 years ago now, and he's inviting us to come and study preaching techniques and the ways, and he did that with me and taught me things that are just immeasurable in use. I found nothing better than to remember what Mama said: "You can learn something good from everybody that you meet." Two, there's something else. We would go to hoe in the garden. We had gardens all around the house. Miss Jane can tell you about at least 3 or 4 of them, and a field. One of them we called it. We wouldn't call it a garden. She called it a garden, but it was a field that we had. But as a result of getting the hoe, I would go out to work on those weeds and work on those grasses that were growing up around some plant that would give us corn or okra, peas or beans. But I'd always be beating around them. I'd be beating them to death, trying to get them up and out, packing the ground around that plant, and ran roots of that plant. And she one day said this to me, "Robert, you don't lose any time when you stop to file the hoe before you get into the work in the garden." She always stopped to file her hoe, front and back and side and in between. And she would be snipping off the little blades of grass and the little weeds like that were there, and not disturbing the ground, not packing the ground so that the rain would flow away from the roots instead of into the roots. And I would be going back to file my hoe to get it sharp to work again. You do not lose time when you file the hoe before you go in the garden. Let me study and ask this question. What does the Bible tell us about preparing for the future event? Listen to the passage made in Paul's writing about the day of the judgment in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We must all appear. How many of us? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done while we were in the body. Here we are in this body, living down here on earth, to receive the things done while in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good or evil. There's coming a day in the which we will account for the deeds of our life, all the unforgiven things of our lives we will be reminded of. We cannot be that kind of person. We cannot choose to be that kind of person. Think about the examples found in the Bible in regard to the way that people prepare. In Proverbs 27 at verse 12, "The prudent man, wise man, foreseeth danger in his path and guardeth himself. The simple of thought," the simple who don't think about the results of where they're going and what they're running into, "pass on by and find themselves in destruction." When we find ourselves looking ahead and seeing dangers ahead, to guard ourselves is a proof of wisdom. It establishes a way of life that we are practicing that is a way of godliness. And that's the way that God would have us to do. When we find in the Bible these examples of godliness by a prudent man in Proverbs 27, and then we find the example in the page of the Bible of someone who cared enough to practice a way of life that was good and godly, so that at the judgment day they would stand accountable for the things done in their bodies that were good. Goodness, compassion, faith, and caring caused the brethren there at Corinth, when they were misusing the Lord's Supper and eating and drinking condemnation to their souls, to repent of that and find themselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, very vivid description of how they were to repent and never be regretting the fact that they had repented. They had turned away from that way of life. They had turned away from the practice of that way of life into the service of God. And as they ate the bread, they remembered the body of Jesus that was broken for them. As they drank the fruit of the vine, they remembered the blood of Jesus that gave a complete sacrifice for them for their sins. Think about the relationship that they had and the way that they lived. And this is the way that Eunice and the way that Lois were taught and lived. And young Timothy had the unfeigned faith in his heart. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, know factually that things have been prepared for you ahead of time. There's clothing that is provided. There's warm water in the baptistry that is there overnight. And here we are with an invitation to come and obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ today. like they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. They were told, repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. They would receive a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, so will you and I. And here we go in life, and we're reminded every time we read the Word of God, this is not just the Word of man, this is the Word of the Lord. This is the Word that the Holy Spirit revealed to us. And this is a message that we should practice and follow as we practice the way of unfeigned faith in our families. May God bless you as you think about this today. Let me know at any hour and any time. Today, right now, is the best time that you'll have. You're living, you're able, and it's now that you could respond to the Lord and be forgiven of your past sins. What somebody says, well, I did that once upon a time and days gone by, but I've not lived up to it. Well, in the Bible, we have examples of people who didn't live up to it. In Acts chapter 8, Simon was a man who found himself in the midst of doing things that were not right. He was told to repent and pray God that the thought and intent of his heart would be forgiven him. We can pray today. And in your heart of returning from that way of life, you can be forgiven. You can go out of this place a new individual today in another way. From the baptismal pool, you go out as a new person, as he's described in Romans 6. Now you can go out a forgiven individual of the things that you've done that do not live up to that. And that's the way that he would have us to do. The family makes a difference. And the future that the Lord tarries makes a difference. And we have the opportunity to live that unfeigned faith way of life. And when we come to a local congregation, as our theme of study during this month is about the church of our Lord, it is the case that fables and questions that are given without learning and without growing, without benefiting, are those things of which Timothy was left at Macedonia to tell them what that unfeigned faith asked of them to do. Would you be subject to Jesus' invitation today to come to him? If so, come as we stand together and as we sing together today.
Let the fountain free kiss for you and me. Let us praise the way to breathe. Is the fountain of love from the source of love, and he gives us all freely drink. Will you come? Come, 'tis for ye and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all. There's a fountain that let and the soul is that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and the stream I see, let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, it's for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call.